Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Word Vomit Podcast, a podcast where we give our take on the worlds of video games, music, comics, movies, and television. I am your host, Emmanuel. On this episode, we have Randy Kings.
Hola.
And we're recording from a very, very warm garage studios.
Not as bad as it could be, though.
The podcast is free for your listening pleasure. If you want to help this podcast out, make sure you're liking, sharing, and subscribing. Randy Kings.
Yes.
What is up?
The temperature here in the Bay Area.
Oh, Nelly.
It is not good here.
No, it is
not. To all our listeners, if you're not aware, we live in the San Francisco Bay Area, Northern California. Generally mild weather.
Yeah, even during the summertime.
Not bad. Now, record highs. My house at one point, later in the evening, not now, but a few hours ago, said 92 degrees inside.
So, I'm an old fogey.
Yes.
I took a nap before coming over here. And we're recording late, mind you.
Yes.
This heat has been affecting everybody, but
yes.
I took a 20, what was supposed to, that turned into an hour.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I was conscious enough to where I was awake. I was still asleep,
okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I couldn't, for the life of me, could not wake up and get out of bed. So, went home, was from work, supposed to be a 20-minute nap. 1 hour later, I'm finally able to get up. And it almost... do you remember that episode of The Simpsons where it's super hot, so Homer tries to get out of the bed, and it's like he's like...
Yeah.
Like it was close to that.
Ew.
It was close
so
to that.
But yes. Man. Yeah, it is hot here. I don't know how else to describe it other than it's fucking hot out here.
I'm actually taking a look right now to see how long we're going to be dealing with this type of weather.
They say it's going to get to the worst of it this weekend and then sort of cool off next weekend or next week. It's not a lot, but it's enough to dip down. I'm like, come on, is it fall yet? Come on, guys.
Oh, geez. Just to give you a heads up, by now it's probably calmed down a bit because, you know, the show is it is next week.
Mm-hmm.
This will be released. It should be after Labor Day.
Yes.
By the time this comes out, because I don't think very many people are going to actively look for our podcast on Labor Day.
I think we have fans who are like, hey, where's it at?
Well, we do have international fans. You are right. But let's see, right now, just because I'm looking at our weather, we are at 86 degrees and it is roughly 9 p.m. right now.
Yes.
That's just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
Now, it's believe it or not, this is actually a worse feeling than going to Nevada. Like, if you go to Vegas. When I went, I actually stayed at my sister's place.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, like, it was one of those things where, okay, you're in the house, and they don't have the AC cranking, but it's cooler in the house. And then as soon as you step out the door, it hits you like, whoosh.
Yeah.
This is a different.
It's light.
It's a light. There's no actual direct contact with heat, but it's just like, it's all around you.
Yeah. It's a light hit, and because it's such a light hit, it's like, oh my god, this is not comfortable.
I
fucking hate this place.
I don't want to be here right now.
I work from home on Fridays, and I was thinking about, I was like, man, I really wish working in the office right now. Pardon me, I joked with Sean Vander, who's not here. We should address that. You did not hear his voice in the intro. He's not sitting quietly in the corner here. He's actually, he stepped out for the day, missing this recording, but Sean Vander, we miss you. But I talked to him yesterday about how maybe we should do the podcast recording at the mall nearby in the food court because they have air conditioning on and we get to do there. We can just post up, just chill, and be like, all right, we can plug in. There you go, done.
They have a Sansa Japan that I actually
would
like to eat from.
Oh, yeah. I do
when
like
I used
that.
To work in the mall.
I like that spot.
It's
but
actually
yeah,
really good.
If it's like this again, maybe we should consider going into the mall and
so
do this.
It looks like we won't be getting any relief until roughly around Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That's what they say.
Labor Day is a beach day for me. I'm just going to the beach and just going to hang there. Nice, cool waters. I hope you guys did the same, because, again, timing of everything when this comes out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's hot here.
It's warm.
It is.
My brain is fried.
It is not okay here at all. We have two fans going in garage studios.
I almost feel like if we took an egg at the peak of the day.
Oh, yeah, we totally could have done that.
We could have just, like, cracked it open on the sidewalk, and that sucker would have cooked.
We probably could have done that. There's actually, I forgot where someone did that. I want to say it was maybe in Vegas, where they took a frying pan, put cooking oil on, not cooking, but, like, Pam on the pan, and cracked an egg on it, and it did cook.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Not okay.
No.
Not okay.
And hey, if you're walking your dogs, make sure that they had the little like booties, because yeah, that hurts their paws. That's
I mean, I have my dog. I walk him in early in the morning, and then I waited till the sun went down to walk him today.
And it was still probably too warm for him, sadly.
It's like, oh.
Not by, like, you trying to torture your dog. No,
no,
or
no.
Anything,
but he needed to go. Like, he's like, I got to go. I'm like, all right, let's go outside. He
like,
knew.
He's like, oh, my God, I don't want to go anymore. Like, we're out here, dude. You got
to
do.
No, he didn't flinch on anything. Oh, he knew exactly. He knew where he needed to go, and then we're like, okay, dude.
All right. So, by the time this comes out, Destiny 2 is going to be out.
Hooray, Destiny 2. I'm not into it.
And
I don't knock it.
I kind of wish It's Chris was here right now, because I always dedicated him 5 minutes for
to talk about Destiny.
Yes, because he was on that game. And when the first time I had Chemix on the show, he was gussying about it as well. So I'm going to see if I can get those guys somewhere down the line, maybe a month after Destiny comes out, so that they can give their 2 cents on that.
Actually, a friend of mine who is one of the heads of Oni Press Comics, I've talked about them quite often on our social media pages on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot, because I'm friends with them and they put out good stuff, not just Scott Pilgrim, but, you know, other great books too. But I'd commented because PAX West is happening, or would have happened after people as they're listening to this podcast, because it's happening now this weekend. And I, you know, did a call out to them on Twitter. And I get a response back from my friend James, and he's like, "Oh no, it's only one of the guys that are gonna be that I know that are gonna be at the Oni Press booth. I'm gonna be at home waiting for Destiny 2 to download to my PS4 so I can play." And I'm like, "Wow, it's good to be the king.
Well, and
it's good to be the head of a company." So you can be like, "Yep, gotta go home and play Destiny."
Well, I'm gonna be using a doctor's appointment to dedicate a day, so I'm still going to the doctor's appointment. Don't get me wrong.
Going to work after? You might as well.
I
take the whole
day.
My
boss always says this, and he'll never argue with me.
Yeah,
I'll tell him, but he'll always say, "Can you take a half day and then go see the doctor?" And I go, "No, sir, no, I cannot." I would look at him and I'd say, "Would you?"
No, I wouldn't do that either. Well, because you never know when the doctor will be available for you. I mean, things get backed up on his end. You need to give the whole time frame. For that.
And it's something that's employee mandated.
Yeah.
So it's not just the one thing. There's one more thing that has to happen after that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to also account for that. And it's just like, okay, I think after that I'm going to relax. So after the doctor's appointment, head on home and just Destiny the day away.
You know, from my understanding, I mean, I could be wrong. If we have any listeners in Japan who live there and work in any industry, I understand that they are aware of new game releases regarding, you know, their employees. So if there's a new game, a new hot game that came out and people are leaving, like, yeah, we get it. Don't bother lying. It's okay. I'll see you online. I'm like,
This is what PTO is for,
it's
guys.
Like, go. It's cool. Like, all right.
It wasn't necessarily for this video game, but we understand.
Oh, man.
Now, the reason I brought up Destiny... if you guys are following us on Facebook, I had actually posted NPR's page on where you can donate, because if you're following the news, and even if you're not following the news,
yes,
you should hear this. Houston, Texas got hit
really bad
by a hurricane.
It is
Hurricane Harvey. And
it is heartbreaking when you see that footage.
It's terrible, dude. It's awful.
I mean, I will say the death toll that they put, I think it's less than 10, right?
No.
It's gotten higher.
As of now, because they're still
oh, yeah, they're still sorting through it.
It's, I think, 31.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Last I saw it was like about 9 people they confirmed dead, but so many homes destroyed, so many people displaced. It's like, ugh. It is terrible. Although I will say the outreach of first responders... was it the country of Mexico is offering to help with aid? Canada is offering help with aid. There's a whole political thing going on whether or not the Texas will accept it. But that's neither here nor there.
Texas,
take the money.
You are not in any position where you can say yes or no to something.
There's people who are suffering. They need help. There's what I like is that there are like people who own boats who are first responders or like rescue like firefighters and whatnot who are going to the area if they live nearby, even if they don't live nearby, with boats to get people out from where they are.
This is one of those occasions where we actually get to see the positive light of the human spirit.
Yeah. Humanity in there.
Because I'm not there.
No.
I'm not going to say, and when I say I'm not there, I mean to say I'm not a pessimist,
mm-hmm.
but damn, am I close.
Well, yes. I've known you long enough to be like, eh,
that's the best way that I can describe it. I'm not there yet, but I'm just at that tipping point.
Yeah.
And then it's events like these where we actually see
goodness.
We actually see people who forget about race, they forget about religion, they forget about politics, they forget about sexual orientation,
they forget about rich or poor.
And it's just like, we need to get these people out of here as soon as possible. And there they go.
Just help out. If I live nearby, I'm like, I feel compelled to want to help people there.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm taking some PTO. I'm going to go try to deflood this house. Pardon
me.
I'm
like, hey, so I got this boat for a really good price.
Are you really going to tell me no, I can't take PTO to try to save some things? Really?
Yeah. Although there is things that point out, like, and I get it. A lot of it, there's some bad part that's come from this, obviously.
Of course.
That Joel Osteen guy. Who didn't want to open up his church, which I was really upset about, because I feel like
and every time they confronted him about it.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
It was a different answer. Like,
No, we were never close. Yes, there's footage online of people who live near that church.
Oh, no. We got hit with the flood too, so it would have been a risk for everybody. No.
Their church is on higher ground. No one's flooded around there.
Yeah, nobody was flooded for that.
Anyway, I don't want to give any more news for that guy, because I don't want to... I'm just really upset because
trust me, you just go on the internet, you'll find plenty of memes.
Old Steam Church, find that. All my experience with churches, and regardless of what your religious beliefs are, my experience with churches has always been they are very open to help people.
I feel inclined to give him the PETA treatment.
I feel inclined to give that dude a stunner. Like I would honestly give him
a
stunner.
Let me. I gotta build this up.
Okay, go for it, dude. All you. And anyway, first of all, if anyone out there who is a supporter of Osteen, hey, I'm sorry that you have a terrible person that you're supporting. I'm sure at one point or another, he had good things that he was trying to teach you, but he did not show it in this time of need.
Okay, I think
but
I got
it. But yes, go. You got it. Go.
Joel Osteen, fuck you.
Yeah, totally. How are you a guy who's trying to preach goodness?
You know what? Somebody had posted this up, and... I promise you, I'm going to go back to Destiny in just
a second. Yeah.
But somebody had posted this up where it was an image of Joel Osteen on the top, and then below it was a video of Tupac.
Okay.
Where Tupac is talking about not necessarily religion in the sense, but like church in itself. Where he goes, these churches have millions upon millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what you can do. Well, no, let me rephrase that. Imagine if you followed what you preached when it comes down to your fellow man.
Yeah.
And you took that money and you helped your fellow man with it. Would we really have poverty in the world right now? And now, mind you, this was in the 90s.
Yeah.
When he said this. So I don't know if one church, if they were to do that, mm-hmm. would get rid of homelessness altogether. But at that time and in that type of money, if you were to talk about inflation.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. And all that money that he gets from those donations from those people that he's scamming is all tax free because it falls under the category of church.
Yeah. He's tax exempt. Someone pointed out online that if you are caught doing something like that. Church, like having a church open for a shelter makes sense to me. It should be a thing that they would go like, yeah, sure, come on in. Because that for a couple things. Number one, it's a church. Everyone should be able to come in. Two, hey, it gives a chance to them to preach the word of God or whatever it is they believe in to a new person. And most importantly, three, help someone out. The fact that he didn't do that, he had a guard at the door and he locked the gates, essentially, to this place where it fits 16,000 people, he should lose his tax exemption for a year. At the very least. I'm like, don't be a dick, dude. Don't be a dick, Joel Osteen.
Should we give him another PETA?
No, I don't think... You know what? I don't want to waste any more time on him now.
Okay.
I'm really upset with him.
There is one more thing I want to add. Because now...
Well, now he's backtracking on everything.
Well, no. It's instead of possibly getting more people to come to his church... And who knows? Maybe he is preaching the word of God and whatnot. Maybe he is. I don't know. But instead of them going to a church, the people are instead going to a furniture store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard about this. That was super cool, a guy.
What ends up happening, I'm trying to find the article right now.
But yeah, it was the dude who owns a mattress store.
It's called Gallery Furniture.
Gallery Furniture in Houston, right?
In Houston.
The cool guy, Gallery Furniture.
Mattress Mac.
Mattress Mac, you are a cool, super cool dude. If anyone who lives in the area of Houston and needs help, go there, because his doors are open.
Yes. And when everything is recovered, buy your furniture from that guy.
Yes, yes, if you can. Whatever insurance you get, go to that spot.
The Church of Mattress Mac. What ended up happening is not only did he open up his doors for people that were trying to get away from the flooding, but he also cut off a certain area specifically for National Guard and Army.
Yeah. So they can sleep there.
So that they can get a full night's rest before having to get
back
out
there.
Now,
mind you, he's allowing them to use his mattresses. Once you sleep on a mattress, you can't resell. Like, if he has someone sleep on them,
he can't sell it as new, essentially.
He can't sell it as new. It's illegal to do that. So he is taking a loss on this, but it doesn't matter to him because he's being a good man.
He's being a human being. Go fig, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of it may be a ploy because, you know, I'm not a ploy, but obviously it gives goodwill to customers, potential customers who want to buy his stuff. Great way to do it, though.
Okay. So you're probably wondering why I brought up Destiny in Houston.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We got to get back on track on that one.
Well, no, there is a reason. There is a reason. I don't know. I'm hoping our listeners remember, but Destiny, or in this case, Bungie, I think this was like a year or two ago, and Chris was still the co-host. There was something going on in another country, very similar situation. It was a hurricane, I believe, and they got ravaged. And Bungie was like, "Okay, here's what we're gonna do: if you buy this thing for Destiny, all the proceeds will go to the recovery of that location."
That's super cool.
And they were able to generate a lot of revenue. They're doing it again for Houston, Texas.
Yep.
So check this out. They are selling a little emblem, a little pin emblem of three hearts with a blue backdrop for $15. It is a real pin, and you'll get a download code for that emblem for Destiny 2.
On any platform?
On any platform.
PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
And Xbox One for $15. You know what? I'm sorry. I actually have the article right here. It was during the earthquakes in Nepal in 2015.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
So they're doing it again for Texas. It is $14.99, and all the money goes to direct relief, which are basically at the ground level right now of Houston, Texas. So if you guys want to donate, based off of the page that I put for NPR, that's great. If you're still a little hesitant, because it's just like, you know,
it's tough. It's tough. You know, it's been, as of late, it's been tough giving to charities.
Right.
Because you don't know where it's going to.
That's why when I said for the American Red Cross, I said give blood.
Yes, give blood.
Don't give them money.
No, give blood.
Give them your blood.
Yes, I'm a blood donor through Red Cross.
Right. Likewise, O positive.
Mm-hmm.
But
look at you, O positive.
Yeah. I'm a positive guy. But, you know, if you still want to do something really nice and get a bit of a reward for it, hey, why not check this out?
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do is we will post the page where you can purchase it. The bad news is you're going to see other pins that they got for sale that you're going to probably want to spend your money on.
Mm.
I saw a Cade 6 pin. I'm like, I want it, I want it, I want it.
How much was that?
It was like $30 because it was in a pack.
Okay.
It was
in a pack. It's part of a pack. Okay.
And yeah. I was just like, I want it, but I got to think about Texas first.
That's actually, that's one of the cooler things I like with these companies. When it's obviously, it's like, you're going to buy something. They know how to get people to give them charities. Like, we know you want to buy this. You buy it, we're going to give them money.
And
to
here's the thing. I expect to see, because I'm picking up Destiny 2.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to be able to put the time in it right away. I'm like I said, Doctor's Day.
We got stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I expect to see a shit ton of hearts when I go in and start playing that game. I expect each and every listener that is picking up Destiny to have those three hearts on their emblem, even if it's just for the day.
Destiny 2, you know, bringing hearts together.
Bringing hearts together through large guns and legendary blades.
Yep.
So, Bungie, thank you for being awesome.
Yeah.
To everybody that is helping with the relief in Houston, Texas right now, I don't know if this means much to you guys, but Word Vomit Productions got your back.
Yeah. Big hugs to you guys.
Big hugs to you.
If you guys were here, I would literally hug you.
You.
And thank you.
You are the reason I still have faith in humanity. You are the ones that answer the call of duty when natural disasters and terrible events happen. You are the first to step up and say, what can I do? And for that, I say thank you on a personal level. Word Vomit Production says thank you. As far as a group, you are helping people see the better side of the human race.
Yeah. Being good neighbors in like a global sense.
And for everybody that is receiving this help, I hope you guys recover and I hope you play it forward.
Yeah. Pay for it. I hope that.
Is it play it forward?
It's pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
Pay for it.
Okay. I thought I heard it both ways, but pay it
forward.
I mean,
I guess play it forward could work, but pay it forward. Pay it forward. That came from that movie with the Haley Joel Osment.
But playing forward sounds more fun.
It does, but, you know. Anyway. But yes, thank you. Thank you, the first responders. And, you know, my heart's gone to everyone in Houston for anyone that's going through this.
I know we have listeners in Texas, too.
It's good to know that.
I've seen them before.
I hope that if you guys, if any Word Vomiteers live in Houston and have been displaced, you know, my heart goes out to you. We all, you know, we all feel for you, and we hope that you, you know, get through this.
I bought my pen. I can tell you, I bought my pin.
I'm not a Destiny player, but I'm probably going to buy a pin now.
Just because it actually does look kind of adorable, too. But I'm also going to be donating to one of the food banks out there.
Yeah.
Make sure that, you know, empty stomachs are one of the least things they have to worry about while they're out there.
That's so bad.
And again, to all of our listeners, if you guys want to help, make sure you go to our page. I know it may seem like, oh, come to our stage. We're the only place that can help you. But
no.
If not, check out NPR.
Yeah.
Non-profit radio.
Non-profit.
They're not trying to get anything out of it.
No.
They have a page that shows what foundations you can donate to, and they'll actually explain how it'll help as well.
Yeah.
So.
Good times.
Anybody who's not a Destiny player but still wants to help, make sure you check out NPR's page. You can find it on Word Vomit Productions' Facebook page, or you can just type it in, NPR Houston, Texas, and you'll see it right there.
Yeah, it'd be good times when everybody gets all that charity coming in to help those people. I mean, good times in a relative terms. Obviously, it's a terrible thing to have be displaced by this terrible storm.
Did you hear about Harvey the Hawk?
No, what is that?
So apparently, there was a hawk that was freaking out during the hurricane and actually flew into a guy's car.
Oh,
and not like crashed into.
No, but like he got inside.
Oh yeah, and the bird's just looking at the guy. The guy's recording on his phone. So what the guy tries to do is he tries to go on a higher altitude, so that the bird can actually you can go now, dude. There's places you can walk. There's places you can land. And the bird got as far as the open door. But that dude wasn't leaving. That bird was not leaving.
The bird's like, fuck that, dude. I've seen this shit.
Somehow the animals are always the first to know.
Well, they know. Animals, when you see animals running, like animals that normally don't hang out together going into the same direction, yeah, you need to go.
Shit's about to go down.
You're like, what now?
So what ended up happening is the guy took him to his house, and the bird stayed there for about a day before he called animal services.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what ended up happening is that they were saying that they're now going to have to re-educate the bird.
how to fly out on his own.
Yeah. And not just that, but I guess because it was with human contact for like 24 hours, and they didn't want it to think like, oh, okay, it's okay to go to any human. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, that guy was being cool about it, but not everybody's like
that. No, some people might hit the golf club.
assholes. But yeah. Yeah, and he became a bit of an internet celebrity.
Of course, the internet. Internet.
Because internet.
Because internets. Hooray.
But yeah. So again, NPR. Just go to NPR's website, type in Houston, Texas. You can find the article. Donate if you can. If you can't, go to your local Red Cross. Donate some blood because they are going to be needing that.
Yes.
They're going to need that by the buttload.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
So make sure you guys do that. Don't give them your money. There was that whole controversy last year with them. They didn't know what exactly the money was going to. So better safe than sorry.
Yeah, yeah. They'll take the blood. They want that.
Very rarely do they turn it away.
No. No, no. In fact, in some cases, they'll give you like a gift card or something for somewhere for giving blood.
I'll be honest with you. I'm happy with my juice and cookies.
Hey.
So long as they're shortbread.
Hey, I will not turn down a gift card. I'm not saying I expect that. I give blood every year. So, but I'm not a guy who's like, hey, they're going to give me a gift card to someplace. I'm like, all right, thanks.
Free Starbucks. All right. Why not? Cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Actually, beans. Like now they've been giving away Amazon cards.
Really?
Yeah. It's not dependent. For anyone out there who's thinking, oh, I'm going to give as much blood. No, it's not dependent
I'm
going to
give $100 worth of blood right
now.
No.
That's not how it works. It's a small, like a $20 gift card. But
that's still not bad.
That's still not bad. But you're like, hey, I'm doing a good thing and they're giving me this. Thanks. I don't know if you noticed, but we record this on a Friday. And today apparently is the second Force Friday. I don't know if you heard about that. Where
like, I did not. Please explain.
Like, Force Friday, essentially, they just do all this. Star Wars is, I guess Lucasfilm/Disney is now announcing all these things for Star Wars. They've released all these toys, which also kind of signifies what characters we'll see.
You know, I think I did see
Yeah,
because
they have
a
GameStop,
that.
Toys R Us, did a whole bunch of things. There's a whole release of all these new toys. That company, Sphero, who makes these smartphone-enabled toys. Like, I have a little tiny BB-8 that moves around. There is I think it's BB-9, is a black version of BB-8 with a different type of head.
He's the evil one.
He might be. He might be. Yeah. And then they have I don't know. I shouldn't have looked up the size of it, but there's a smartphone-enabled R2-D2 that apparently is the R2 figure you're looking for. There's all these other things that are in there, but the part I liked is I guess there's a lot of cosplayers out there who are lining up in line, like, they started lining up last night, apparently, for different retailers to get Star Wars action figures and whatnot. And I just find it very funny that it's for, you know, it's not even a thing that you're going to know what it's for yet. And people are lining up for it.
Because it just has the name
Star Wars. Well, I mean, like, there's all, was it Obi-Wan Ghost? There's, like, exclusive figures that have been released. I'm like, I will personally wait. I'll wait. If I really want it, I'll get it eventually.
He really will, too.
I will wait. It's like,
some way or form, he will get his hands on it.
I'll get a hold of it later. It's not super huge to me. But I also find interesting is, it's actually a topic that we didn't get to talk about the last two shows, but the Obi-Wan Kenobi solo film was announced.
That's right.
And they're working up the script. Apparently, I'm happy to hear that Ewan McGregor is open. Actually, he says, I want to be back. Well,
yeah, right?
Because they don't have a script yet, they haven't announced any who will be attached to it, what the story's about even. But I'm excited to see an Obi-Wan solo film.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to see what... We're getting a bit of a comic from Marvel.
Yes.
In what's been going on.
Yeah.
Like, if you look online, there are, like, snippets of old Ben going over to their house to try to give stuff to them to help them take care of Luke.
Yeah, Luke, Uncle Owen and Peru.
But they're like turning him away.
Well, yeah, because they don't.
Because they're like, you're the problem. Yeah, blah, blah, blah,
yeah, yeah.
Blah,
well, you know.
Get the fuck out of here. You know, so you get to see a little bit of
my
what's going on.
My stepson died because of you.
This, and that.
Yeah.
So there's stuff out there, but you're right. I am excited if this is going to be. If the script is getting started on.
Yeah.
Just even that. Just tell me that. Like, right now it's just murmurs of just like, oh, Obi-Wan movie, Obi-Wan.
Well, I'm excited for a couple of things because there's a lot of stories that are now canon that referenced Obi-Wan. Like, for anyone who's watched Star Wars Rebels or The Clone Wars, all those stories with him in it are part of the lore. So there's a whole history that we can play with on there. I want to see what he did after, like, when he's on Tatooine.
Right.
Like, I brought this up with my wife, and she's like, well, he knew about the cantina. Like, this is a place of scum and villainy.
What I love about your wife is that she's not the biggest fans of it, but because of that, she's always able to look outside of the box.
Well, she's
like, she'll
them.
Notice things like, why are they doing this? And most times than not, when someone does that, it's almost infuriating because it's just like, ugh, you're not asking the right questions.
Well,
but she kind of is.
Well, she my wife. Is more into Star Trek, Next Generation, supposedly. And she will say that she hasn't watched the original trilogy in its entirety, even though I've sat there and watched a lot of it with them. But she has watched Star Wars Rebels with me. Like, we've sat and watched it together. And when we talked about, like, where I would like to see an Obi-Wan movie be told from, she goes, well, he had to have done a lot of things because he knows about that cantina.
Right.
Like, he knows.
Like, she picks up on those things.
It's like, he did mention them, like, he sure did, and I'm pretty certain he probably had to do, not, I want to say, dirty things, but there's probably some unsavory acts that he had to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, you don't live on Tatooine.
He didn't do it, but he had to clean it up.
Yeah, I'm like, he don't live on Tatooine and be that kind of, like, be where he was and not have to deal with some shit.
Speaking on Star Wars, I think they just finished up Donald Glover's parts for Young Han Solo.
Yeah.
Which still doesn't have an official name, right?
No.
Everyone's still just labeling it as Young Han Solo,
which,
right?
I don't know what you would call that. It's a hard thing. Like, I don't know what you would call a Obi-Wan Solo movie, other like, The Adventures of Obi-Wan. Like, because it's hard when it's about one specific character. We haven't really had that before. Like, Rogue One was a title because of the squad, Rogue One. We don't have Han Solo. I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll see. I guess that would be a good
Smuggler's
idea.
Run. I guess, can we call it that?
Maybe,
Star Wars,
yeah.
Smuggler's Run.
I think that would give us an idea of the direction that they can go on a movie based off of just one character. Because even if you look at A New Hope, it's Luke Skywalker and being trained in the ways of the Force.
But it's a whole bunch of folks.
You also have this giant war that's going on between the Rebels and the Empire that's looming on there. How do they do that with just one character?
Yeah.
Like just focused on just one character. And we'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out with the Young Han Solo movie. Maybe it'll give us a good idea of how they'll work with the Obi-Wan movie.
Yeah.
If Ewan McGregor does get called up for it, I'll admit, I'll be immensely intrigued to check that out.
Well, because then I'll be hoping that it's the while he's on Tatooine. Because, if you watch Star Wars Rebels, there actually is a episode in the latest season where you get to see Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine, and like he's basically there kind of more or less to protect Luke Skywalker when he's very young. I want to say he's like 12 years old or something, because you get there. There's actually a scene where you get to see him at home, and like it's from very far off, and that he's been watching him, which actually now saying it out loud sounds kind of creepy. That he's kind of Obi-Wan's kind of been staring at this guy or staring at this kid. It's like, it's not like that.
I think Seth like MacFarlane got it right. When he put the old man as Obi-Wan.
Was it when a Stewie Darth Vader goes, I told you the restraining order said 50 feet or 50 yards away.
Right.
Like, ugh. But yeah, no, I'm
what
excited.
A day and age where we can have an old pedophile and we just talk normally about it.
Well, because the thing is, you don't actually see him ever do anything. Like, he may be like that, but you never actually witness his acts on it.
And then we see Darth Stewie bringing up the restraining order.
Well,
okay, he's got to have done something.
Yeah, well, he's a. Where's the baby boy at?
Yeah. Get back here, you piggy son of a bitch.
Oh, my dang.
Whoa.
And he
I think it was always. Honestly, I think it was only supposed to be a one off.
Oh, yeah.
And,
well, and like many of the characters, but
there
everyone.
There's such a response to him.
Well,
because
he's very ridiculous, like how he says these things. It starts off with. He's just like a regular old guy in his walker, and then when you really get to see how bad it is when he is talking, or when you hear his recording on the answering machine. Where's the paper boy at?
I haven't received the paper.
All right, my motherfucker, you're really making me mad. I'm like, dang, what is going on? And then I'm sorry, where's the paper boy at? I'm like, dude, you like Chris?
Get back here, you piggly son bitch.
He likes the fat
Call
kids?
Me!
Likes the fat kids? Ooh. But yeah, actually, I remember talking about the whole thing with Obi-Wan with Sean, and I feel bad that he's not here because I would have loved to have gotten the subject with him, mainly because he was going into because Sean Vander is also like a old Star Wars fan like myself, and he will talk about the things that were written in the comics, in the in the books and everything, and I always have to remind him, you know, I'm like, you know, those stories don't count.
And it
out.
Drives him nuts every time you do that.
Well,
too.
I'm like, that doesn't mean they won't bring it up, but like he wants to talk about how Obi-Wan Kenobi couldn't use it. Would be boring if you saw him on Tatooine because he couldn't use the Force, because Darth, because Palpatine would have been able to feel him. I'm like, well, didn't have a problem with that in the Clone Wars animated series.
Like, how weird did it get? At one point, it was Boba Fett actually teams up with one of Han Solo's kids,
yeah,
who's going after her brother who has succumbed to the dark side.
Something crazy like
it's
that.
Like, it's just like
there's a lot of.
I think somebody said that's like fan fiction at its purest, right there.
Pretty much. I mean, those stories were great, but then there's so the problem with Star Wars. It's been spanned so long, and there's been so many things in it that at some it's good for Disney for having the strength to go, you know what? We're gonna cut those.
You know what? One company that I did hear that did a really good job with the Star Wars license, which was really sad because they were the ones that were actually producing really good stories, was Dark Horse.
Oh yeah.
When
yeah.
Dark Horse had the Star Wars franchise, they were taking it in directions that people were just like, "This is awesome." So that's why I'm a little. That's why I was sad when they said, like, "Oh yeah, all that didn't happen." It's just like all that hard work and it's just like the dedication.
Yeah.
Like you knew the people that were writing it. Yeah, it's fan fiction, but they had respect for the source material. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's even said that George Lucas never counted any of the books. Like, the only thing he ever counted were his movies. And at the time, when they asked him, was the Clone Wars animated series.
Didn't he also come out and say that the Force Unleashed was supposed to be canon?
I think he said.
Or at least the first one was.
He said that it was a good story, but it wasn't something they could work in.
I don't know. It kind of seemed like they were able to.
Sort of, but not really. Because then it adds that question of, where the fuck was he in Return of the Jedi?
Well, that's why I think when they said just the first one.
No, but yeah, it's the idea
of because he ends up getting killed, and that's what ends up creating the Rebel Alliance. And that's why I thought, okay, the first one I heard was canon because it set that all up. It
yeah.
got everybody together to form the Rebel Alliance, and I'm geeking out like crazy yeah. right now. But the second one was just
so
like,
weird.
What the fuck,
turned
dude?
Into like a really weird, like
that
a clones
was a cash
involved.
Grab.
Well, it's like
right
we
there.
Have. Well, it's not. I would use the word cash grab loosely. It's the hey, we need to make something because we got the license for this, and
right.
if we don't want to lose the license, we have to make something.
Kind of like Spider-Man 3.
Yes, you have to.
Like
make
we
something.
Gotta get something out as
we
soon as
we have
possible.
To make it. You have to
or
license.
We're
do
losing
something
the
with
license.
It. But yeah, they. But that also, even if that first one was canon, that also makes like Rogue One really like not as important. That whole. Everything that happened in Clone
right.
Wars kind of not important. It's like, really? Like, I mean, I'm not saying Clone Wars, but like all the things that were leading up after that. It's like,
let me ask you something. Do you think Disney or Marvel would have been able to pick up where Dark Horse had left off and continued it?
I could swear that they're trying to, because there were some books that were still happening at once. Like, was it Star Wars Dark Times, which is one of the books I like, is where it's actually all focused on Vader. And how he's basically cleaning up all of the Jedi's that are around. I want to say they still think that's canon. Like, they pick and choose. It's like what they're doing with everything else. And it's
basically things that they can work off
yeah.
of, or at least not directly impact what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's some. In Marvel, the Marvel Comics line, it's legit. Like, there are some really cool stories out of there that I'm
they
really
got a, they got a homicidal C-3PO.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like a whole like
with
was it,
zero F's given.
Yeah, there's a detective in there who's a doctor who works for the Empire. It's like, dude, this is fucking crazy, and it works. I don't know if we'll ever see them on screen, but it's cool that they have worked these stories in. They're even working in like characters from Episode 7 have appeared in a lot of their books.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's just tough. Again, it's
and,
one of those
and
things.
You know what? They have created a nice little niche of characters for the new series.
Yeah.
Outside of Rey and Finn,
yeah.
there's also Poe.
Yeah, Poe Dameron. There's a whole book series for Poe Dameron.
Yeah, and this is I'm so glad with that. Like, the moment I knew I loved him was when he gets captured at the beginning of the
oh,
movie,
yeah.
and they just stare at each other, and he goes, "Okay, so am I the one that's supposed to say something?
You talk.
Or do you talk?"
I think he goes, like, I can't really tell your face because you have that mask. I'm like, dude, like, you know you might get killed, right?
You know you're.
But he gave no shits.
Yeah.
No shit.
But I think that was the whole
love,
point.
Yeah.
It's
that's
like,
what I love.
Okay, I'm gone. So
what I liked was that he did not flinch because he knew who he was dealing with in that first sequence in the beginning of Force Awakens, he knew that you know, that was it, Ben Solo, who he was, didn't care and fired on him anyway. Was like, yeah, shoot this fucker.
Because there is a, maybe it is a tiny percentage, but there is a percentage that'll actually hit him.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
He's like, just fuck go.
He fired. He's like, no, he saw that dude get shot. He's like, no, fucker, shoot him up. I'm like, that's right. I don't think that was a smart move. You should have just turned around, but.
He would have been captured anyway. Yeah. Like you said, fuck it, might as well.
Went down swinging. But yeah, I really hope, I mean, because there's a bunch of things happening, obviously, with the Star Wars, with all their announcements. Apparently, you get to see what Snoke looks like. There's a figure that you can get of him, which I looked at it, and I was like, a little weirded out that he's, like, in a gold bathrobe. People online, yeah, it is weird. I will post it on our Facebook and Instagram.
Please do. I'm
so you can see
curious.
what the figures are, because there's some really cool things happening with the Star Wars toy line. But some of the things were like, hey, this is what we're going to see in Last Jedi. I went, why does he look like a 70s swinger? Except with a deformed face because he's Snoke. Yeah.
Please post that up. I do actually want
to
see that.
So let me pull it up on my phone now.
Okay.
But yeah. so hopefully we're hoping with the Obi-Wan Kenobi solo film. Number one, get Ewan McGregor back.
Yes.
Get him back and put him on Tatooine. I want to see the shit that he pulls there. Because I want to say he's probably been in a couple of those.
I'd like to see him a little bit more grizzled, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's seen things.
He's seen a ton of shit, and like, yeah, he's gotten over it. I mean, well,
By the time A New Hope starts up, he's just tired. At
he's
that
like,
point.
Eh.
He's a tired old man. He's just like, all right, let's do everything we can to stop him, but I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. If I find myself in a sword fight, probably not going to give it my all.
Well, I disagree on that, because he does, you do see him in Star Wars Rebels, Darth Maul. You get to find out what happens to Darth Maul. For anyone who's a fan of Darth Maul, sorry, he's dead. That's how it is. Like, legitimately, they killed him.
You know what? I think that Dark Horse actually did create a story where Darth Maul did survive, and his sole purpose is just to go after Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
No, like, he's not even part of the Empire anymore.
No, he's not.
He is just...
That's actually how he is in the Clone Wars animated series. He becomes leader of the Mandalorian Empire for a while.
And he's just, like, more robotic.
Yeah. Well, he had spider legs at first, got rid of that, got regular legs. He appears in Star Wars Rebels in Season 2 and Season 3, where he's got regular robot legs. He is a very bitter dude who hates the Emperor, hates Vader, hates Obi-Wan, chases after Obi-Wan, and you actually get to see the final duel between them. And Obi-Wan will not fight him, says he forgives him for all the shit he did, tells him, hey, man, I'm above all the stuff you're doing. You need
move
to
move on.
You
yeah.
need to move on. And then Maul asks him, what are you doing in this backwater planet anyway? Why are you here? What are you doing? And then he realizes by his expression, and I guess using the Force, that he goes, oh, you're here for someone, and says, maybe I should talk to them.
And that's when he has to do
and,
what he has
yeah,
to do.
And that's when he pulls out the lightsaber and they battle. And man, it is a very satisfying fight to me. I feel like it was a good ending for everything. But yeah, I think that Obi-Wan's like, no, don't fuck with me. He's like, I'm tired.
Like,
I believe him to be tired, but
look,
don't fuck with me.
I'm all about the peace, love, and joy.
Yeah.
But you push my buttons,
I will fuck you up.
And shit's going to get real.
Blue lightsaber to the dome.
Quick.
Well,
you know?
Remember he cut off that dude's hand in the cantina.
Right.
Like, not a problem. Whipped it out.
Well, yeah, but that's because he knows that they're scum.
So it's okay. So scum, okay to kill, get rid of.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
All right.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's one of the line.
You know, there's a line there.
Gotcha.
If I kill this guy, will the universe be better off? Yeah, probably. Woo.
Oh, man.
Okay, so you guys reported on this, the episode that I wasn't on, the one that Cinex was on, about the Olympics possibly allowing video games to be part of the
2024. Yeah, it was being considered.
So it's still going back and forth right now. And the latest on there is that they're very hesitant because they believe that the games promote violence. Now, I never got to put in my two cents on this, so let me get that out of the way first.
Mm-hmm.
I, even though I saw this article, still to this day, I still don't know how I feel about... Like, it's one thing when video games have their own competition.
Yes.
I could understand Evo. I could understand Dota 2. I could understand StarCraft. I could understand Call of Duty. I get it. When it's in its own realm. But then to include it into the Olympics, for me, it leaves my head scratching. I'm not necessarily for or against it, but if I were to have to decide, I guess I would lean more towards the against, because it just seems like such a weird thing for me. You've got gymnastics, you've got pole vaulting, you've got shot putting that's still on there. I don't remember if wrestling was taken out or if they were able
it was
to keep
and
it going.
I believe it was
they
put
got
back
brought
in.
Back.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you see all these things, and then you think hand-eye coordination. Because that's really what video games are.
Yeah.
It's hand-eye coordination. Is that something that needs to be recognized at an Olympic level? I mean, if it happens, that's great. Don't get me wrong. I'll be happy. We'll finally be able to put the rest, like when our parents would always say, like, what are video games going to do for you? It's an Olympic sport, ma!
Pretty much.
You know. But going to this particular article that Shoryuken put out, they were talking about, again, nothing has been decided, but that was one of the things that had to be discussed among them. And I thought about that for a second, and I go, wait a minute. The Olympics actually has full-on contact sports. Now, granted, they are wearing protective gear.
Yeah, their combat sports are very, I would say, light, comparatively speaking.
Comparatively speaking, right. For boxing, the gloves are thicker, I think, so that they don't hurt their hands.
Something like that, yeah.
And they have headgear. And even for taekwondo,
they're full protected.
They're fully protected. But you're still more, first off, you're still more likely to hurt yourself doing that than competing on, let's say, Street Fighter V. Unless the salt levels are super, super high.
Well, yes. I mean,
which is something that's going to have to be addressed, by the way.
Well, which is what we mentioned in that episode when Sean Vander and Cynix and I were talking about. It's like, well, the thing is, the Olympics is a very sportsmanlike event. You are not going to see people who are running track after they've done a race and someone won. You're not going to see them, like, overly celebrating in their opponent's face in
right.
a very disrespectful manner, which I've seen many of people in video game world do. I've been victim of that myself. I've behaved in such a manner. And that's not even in a competition level. That's just me playing with some friends or someone I didn't know in the arcade and, like, you know.
You know, I actually...
Salting Victor.
I
Salty Victors.
I actually played Capcom versus SNK2 at an arcade last weekend, or maybe it was 2 weekends ago. Won the first match, and then his buddy showed up, and he beat me. And they got so weirded out when I shook the guy who beat me. I shook his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, man, good game. And they're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like,
oh, because he doesn't know how to behave.
Well, no,
it
wasn't that he was behaving badly or he was just like, you know, but it was just like someone was just like, oh, man, that was really cool. Good on you, man. And it's just like, what?
No, I mean, like, behave, but reacting to how you acted like a good sportsman.
Right. Like, it's just like, it almost had that moment like, what do I do with this? And you just pulled up. Please put that on the Facebook
yes.
page.
The first photo we're going to see in this very short article of the Star Wars, was it the reveals of their new figures that are available now for Force Friday 2? It is. Should I put the link or just put the photo up of the figure?
Put the link. Put the link full on link so that they can also see what else is going on.
But, yeah.
But going back to the Olympics. So I realize that in some fighting games there are characters that are out there for a specific revenge and they want to kill somebody. Case in point, Nash, his main drive throughout the entire story mode of Street Fighter V is to kill Bison. But I'll say eight times out of ten, someone who's playing a fighting game is not going to really care about the story. They're just going to go in there and play the fighting game mechanics that are behind it.
Yeah.
There's some of them that do a really good job with story. NetherRealm Studios with their Mortal Kombat,
Tekken,
and Injustice, and Tekken. You're right.
They've had a long story that's been continuing on for like 7 games.
But when someone goes and plays Tekken 7, they're not thinking about the story mode. They're thinking about how long can I juggle this dude before I have to reset myself. You know, who's the next character that they're going to bring in that's a guest from another series?
Yes,
because holy shit, Geese Howard. Did not see that coming at all. I think Street Fighter needs to to do theirs, and they need to get Terry from Fatal Fury.
That would be pretty dope. I'd be down with that. Right? I'd be down with that.
You know, that's what they really think about when it comes down to playing these fighting games. They're not thinking about, oh, I'm going to actually go up to somebody and punch them in the face. The worst that they'll do is they'll break their own equipment. I've seen it before, the salt levels. Like, there was one that I saw of the guy lost. The winner shakes the loser's hand. The loser does not do anything to signify that he's pissed off at the guy that beat him. But as soon as the guy clears away, he takes his fight stick and he breaks it over his knee.
Ugh.
Just like crunch. And it's just like, ugh. First off, that must have hurt, dude. Don't even fucking lie. Taking your knee to your fight stick. That's going to hurt for a while. That's going to sting a little bit. So, but again, going back to it, it's more so about the focus is going to be on the mechanics of the game, not necessarily on the story. And for you to try to use that excuse almost feels like it goes back to that argument of saying video games promote violence. It has been proven time and time again that it does not do that. If anything, it actually calms people down because it gets used as a vehicle to mm-hmm. de-stress. Like, okay, I can't go into a mall and start killing everybody, but I can play Dead Rising and go crazy on these all zombies. These zombies that are stuck in the Willamette Mall.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think a lot of it also has to be with the behavior of the competitors.
And you know what? I think that, speaking on those competitors, that they should take this opportunity to show that we can be sportsmanlike. And what I mean by that is we don't have to, we don't have to go into teabagging.
Mm-mm.
We don't have to. I know a dude. And he's like one of the nicest guys I've ever met. But when he's playing Street Fighter, if nothing is happening, he starts teabagging. It's just like until something happens, he will do it. But at an Olympic level, it gives us the opportunity to be like, we're not just these mindless people that sit hours and hours and play video games. No, we can be cool with each other.
Yeah.
That is what Evo is all about.
Yeah.
As far as the fighting game scene, is being able to get everybody together to enjoy and have fun and have a good time. Granted, Evo has also shown us the saltiest of moments.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few.
Yes, I have too. Racial slurs, anyone?
Yeah, I know, for real?
Shit. But it's one thing if it's Evo. It's another thing altogether if it goes Olympic level. And if this actually happens, dude, we actually stand a chance. Like, let me ask you, did you ever think that you would honestly compete in the Olympics for anything? Like, you actually, if we actually, this is one of those things where we can actually sit down, plan it out, plan out a regimen.
Yeah.
And follow through with that. And the best part about it is there can't be any drug scandals with this.
Well, remember,
don't take this away from me, Head Kings.
No, we did talk about that in previous ones for other e-sport leagues. When was it? There was they were abusing, what was it called? Adderall. And that could be a thing they screen for if you're not using it. I'm just saying that is a thing that can happen. Although I would find it funny if someone was busted for anabolic steroid. You're like, dude, what are you doing?
Fuck.
What is going on? Got to bulk up.
You know what? You know what? You're probably more than likely going to find more than anything else. Pot.
Maybe. Maybe. Cool. I mean, depending on how serious they are. I don't know. I don't know how what the extracurriculars are of the competitors in the esports for esports in general. But
when it comes down to the Olympic level.
Yeah, you might have to check that out. But there's a bunch of other
If you haven't learned anything from Michael Phelps, just remember that he lost so many sponsorships when he got busted.
Which I feel
pot.
Like motherfucker.
It was fucking
it's just
crazy.
Weed.
Exactly.
And
it was just weed.
And it wasn't like he was buying it or anything. He was at a party. Someone probably offered him, hey, you want
a
bong hit?
Here's a bong. Do you want to take a hit?
And then some motherfucker
sure.
out there just, oh, I'm gonna take a picture and make $1,000 on this. You asshole. Don't be a jerk. Michael Phelps was so cool with me.
Yeah.
Even if he was smoking weed and he was able to beat all those people for so many years in swimming, Yeah, yeah, you give him a platinum medal.
You know what? Actually, funny enough, did you hear? Because last weekend was the McGregor Mayweather fight.
Yes.
Did you hear that after all that was passed, Phelps actually challenged McGregor to a swimming match? Because I know McGregor's trying to be the guy that goes, I could do anything. I could do anything.
Yeah.
Well, Phelps has laid down the gauntlet, sir. It's not going to be a $100 million race.
No.
But if you think you could do it.
I feel like it'll only be fair if you put leg weights and arm weights on Michael Phelps.
I'd still blow him out of the water.
That would make it more fair.
He would literally blow him out of the water.
Michael Phelps doing that shit. That's funny. I mean, yeah. Poor McGregor's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Swimming? Fuck that. I don't get to punch something? Nope.
No.
But another, I was going to say, was another thing that is going to block it is with the IOC, the Olympic Committee, they also, they have like their standards, and competitors will not, a lot of them, you know, they have their own sponsors for the Olympics. You have to use their sponsors.
I don't see that being as too much of a problem, seeing as how it's only one event.
That is true, but the problem is that the top players that we have, you know, they have their own sponsor. They have multiple sponsors. They're like the NASCAR of single competition.
But if you were to say, look, we don't want you to wear your sponsors for this one, that doesn't necessarily mean that after you leave the Olympics,
that's true,
you can't jump back.
No, I'm not doubting that. It's just the idea that how many people are going to be willing to compete knowing that they're going to be restricted to that.
That's
a question we had asked, is like, how many people want to fight for pride? Because there's no fight money in this.
Right. No, you're right about that. But I actually think that, because again, it is something as prestigious as the Olympics.
That's true. I mean, we'll see.
I don't think everybody would do it.
No.
I'll say that right now. I don't think every competitor in the fighting game scene, or whatever video game
you Rocket League.
I will say that not everybody will. But to be able to say, I have an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
Is saying something.
That's true.
Huge. And if you think about it, it goes into the Michael Phelps effect, where you weren't able to get any sponsors and you weren't able to get any fight money, but you're gonna have plenty of people coming after you at that point. Hey, can we sponsor you for this? Like, do you want to be on the box of Wheaties? And it's just like, are you gonna say no to that?
No. So you're saying Team USA calls you up for Street Fighter V. I'm not saying that that's going to be a thing where Street Fighter V will be in the Olympics or whatnot.
Right, but just for example's sakes.
And you're like, eh? Or are you going to be like, fuck yeah, put me in?
I'll say fuck yeah, put me in, because they're also going to be providing me with the training facilities, or in this case, an apartment with other gamers.
Like other dudes.
That are other really players. Good with it. So it's just like,
I imagine it being, like, for me, I imagine not even an apartment. It's going to be like a warehouse-type scenario. All these, you're going to have not just you and the team, but, like, people who are going to be, like, giving you the analysts of who you might be competing against, what your flaws are.
Right.
That would be super. It'll be like when Ivan Drago is training in Rocky IV. That's the kind of training you want for Street Fighter V.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Because they're going to want to get the gold. They're going to want USA to have a gold medal in esports. And you know what? So, yeah. Okay, why not? Again, first off, I'm going to the Olympics, which, again, I never thought in a million years I would be able to do. And I'm going to do something that I know that I can do really well in. I'm not going to say I'm going to be the best, but I could do it.
True. All true.
And then again, let's say everything does work in my favor, you know, at that Olympics. And I'm a realist, so let's say just silver medal.
Yeah.
Not even gold. I take the silver medal for the USA. That's still going to draw attention from companies that are going to want me on their team.
Yep.
So it's a win-win situation.
It is. Well, it comes down to the perception that the IOC will have regarding this type of gaming or this type of event.
And we've hit the hour point, but I do want to get this out. What ends up happening with this is that, because it's not just so simple as just like, all right, here are the consoles and here's that. No, there's going to actually have to be a rule book and a code of ethics and all that set up just to play a video game.
Yeah. Well, we had talked, well, I mean, because there's been other what do they call it, exhibition games. There were, like, I think ballroom dancing was considered one.
Let me ask you this.
Bowling, I believe, at one
bowling
point.
Bowling was, yeah. What do you think would happen first, MMA or esports?
I'd probably go with MMA.
You think so? Because I know they've been fighting for that for a while now.
Yes.
But you think MMA would go first?
I think MMA would go first because their draw would be easier for them to get. The problem with esports we talked about, it's like, it is going to be cool because the Olympics will get a very young crowd to watch.
But it's not the biggest audience.
It's not going to be the biggest audience. Also, it's going to be one of those things where you also, it's very specific to the game you pick. Like, you know, obviously if we got like League of Legends in there, there might be a ton of people around the world that's
gonna watch
this.
Or as you mentioned before,
Rocket League is huge.
Yes.
But then, you know,
that game blew up, dude.
I didn't expect it to be as big as it was. And I was like, a soccer game with some RC cars? That
actually
sounds kind of lame. And then I played it and went, oh, fuck, a soccer game with a bunch of RC cars.
Actually, my sister's boyfriend is super huge into FIFA. So I was just like, you need to check this game out, dude. It's like $20 online. Trust me, you'll have fun with it.
Dude, once it gets on the Nintendo Switch, I mean, I have it on PS4, but I'm like, if I can play it on the go, I'm going to fucking play it on the go.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my clients' clients, they were leaving, and they go, I hope you enjoy your 3-day weekend. And she goes, oh, all I'm going to be doing is playing Zelda. And like, my ears perked up. Like,
you're like, what?
You play Zelda?
Breath of the Wild, man. Breath of the Wild.
And she goes like, oh my God, Breath of the Wild. I was like, I hear that's like Zelda on Skyrim. And then right before the elevator closed, she goes, it's better than Skyrim.
Dang.
Close.
Wow. She said it.
I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. I need to play the game before I can decide.
There you go.
I will say I have put 60 hours into Skyrim on 3 separate occasions.
There you go. But yeah, with the...
maybe a fourth.
With the Olympic Committee making their decisions, I mean, I get why they would be weirded out by, I guess, the type of people in their behavior when they're playing these games.
I
understand.
That is a valid argument.
I totally get it, and I hope that they can understand that they're not... but there are, I would say, respectful players out there. Like yourself. You mentioned, it's like, yeah, you played. It wasn't even for money or that you're playing arcades on B2. You shook his hand and said, oh, good game.
Yeah. It had been a while since I played Capcom versus SNK2, and I had a lot of fun with it.
There you go.
And they beat me, and it's just like, cool, man.
You're like, thanks, man. Good game. See you later.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we've hit the hour mark.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun with this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Again, I will remind everybody, if you guys want to help the situation that's going on in Houston, Texas with Hurricane Harvey, please make sure you check out NPR's page so that you can see where you can donate to actually make a difference. It's not one of these, not one of those scammy churches or anything. No, you can find out exactly where you can donate, and you know how your money is being used. You can also type in Houston, Texas, Bungie on Google so that you can also take a look and see how you can get a really cool looking pin in real and digital life.
Yes. And you'll get the pin. Money will go towards
direct relief
for the victims in Houston, Texas. You also get this really cool thing. Did they say what the ETA was on it releasing?
The
pin itself.
I think the pin is already ready.
It's ready to go.
As far as the emblem, I think it's like 48 hours
okay.
after the game's launch.
Yeah, and it's a thing that's available for PS4, PC, and Xbox One. So it'd be good times for everybody. Just to make sure, because I actually don't play Destiny, so I'm not super into it.
We're working on that.
We'll see. We have the time for it. But does that emblem on your character do anything, or is it just decorative?
It's decorative.
Okay, that's fine.
But still.
Hey, man, that just shows you gave.
It just shows that.
You did your part.
It shows you did your part. It shows unity. And regardless, again, of wherever you fall on Destiny, a Warlock, a Titan, or anything like that, there is a unity to it.
Yes, you helped out some poor unfortunate folks in Houston.
So hey, if you guys also like the show, make sure you are liking, sharing, and subscribing. We are on SoundCloud, we are on iTunes, we have just recently been put on Google Play.
Hooray.
Make sure that you guys are checking out our videos on We're Vomit Productions. I know I say this every time, but we got some new content coming up.
Yes.
This coming weekend, which has already passed by the time you're listening to it, with San Francisco Comic Con, so we should have some cool videos of that really soon.
Yep.
Randy Kings, any last words?
I would like to let everybody know, please, you know, even if it's not necessarily for the Houston relief, But, you know, if you can, give blood to your local blood bank, to Red Cross or whoever. You know, it's not a huge thing. It takes maybe an hour of your time.
You get a cookie out of it.
I know with the Red Cross, if you give plasma, which isn't hard to do either, it doesn't take that much long, but or even giving blood, they will give you a number or a barcode where you can see where your blood went to. Last I checked, mine went into a hospital, I think, in the Midwest.
Also, they take blood cells as well.
Yes.
That one can only be done once a month, roughly.
Yeah, well, because they don't, you know, it's for health reasons. But Yeah, it helps out. Every bit helps. Because it's not just, you know, for people who are in need of it and everything. If you can, do it, please.
I remember the first time I donated blood, they're like, do you want to do a blood cell? I was like, how's that work? And they gave me the whole thing. And I go, how much longer is it going to be? About like probably another 15, 20 minutes after, you know, on top of what you're doing. Yeah, screw it. I'm not doing anything. Go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Randy Kings, thanks so much. Hopefully Sean Vander will be back on the next episode.
Yep.
And this is Emmanuel reminding you that if there's something wrong, if you think there's something wrong with the enchilada, there's something wrong with the enchilada.
Definitely.
Be shiny to each other, everybody.